And you're supposed to get quad candy from your buddy. And that's huge for me because my Charmander buddy, hang on, I gotta hit the right button and not be a silly panda man. So as soon as the buddy system came out, I started walking with Charmander, right? I'm at 166.8 kilometers with my Charmander buddy. And if I go over and I look at my Charmander, I have a total of 58 candies. There are no such thing as fire Pokemon in Kansas. So, here we go. So I'm excited. I'm also pretty excited for these ghost candy.
That's the only reason I'm playing.
Well, we have a lot of plant-type Pokemon here in this area. Specifically, Exeggutors. So, and Exeggutors and plants get demolished by, or grass, whatever, get demolished by ghost Pokemon. So I'm excited to get some ghost Pokemon built up that can hopefully take down some of these gyms with a little bit more regularity. But hey, this isn't a podcast about Pokemon Go, although Travis and I could probably talk about it for at least 10 minutes. Probably. I would say a minimum of 10 minutes. No, this is a podcast about Magic the Gathering. Look at me, Travis. That's like 2 weeks in a row that I didn't screw up and say Dungeons and Dragons.
That's about 3 weeks now.
Woo! Breaking records.
You're getting better at it.
Breaking records, taking name. This is episode 54 of Two Trolls and a Brew. Combo standard question mark. I'm one of your hosts, Samus, joined by my beautiful co-host, Travis, who is showing off a Vampiric Tutor. A Vampiric Tutor, yes.
It was just sitting under my keyboard.
Well, that's where you keep Vampiric Tutors. That's where I keep my Vampiric Tutors. Shut up. Get down. I'll open up a curtain.
Speaking of Vampiric Tutors, did you watch The Walking Dead?
I've never watched any episodes of The Walking Dead.
He had the funniest punchline in the whole show.
Okay. Well, hit me. What is it?
After he beat someone to death with his baseball bat.
That's Daddy Winchester, right? I love that guy.
Comedian, depending on if you watch The Watchmen.
Yes, but Daddy Winchester is so much better.
Yeah, true. So after he destroyed someone with that, blah, 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 other incidents happen, and then he destroyed someone else with it. He was like, oh, man, Lucille was really thirsty. She must be a vampire bat.
Oh, is that because, okay. Did he beat him to death with the bat?
Oh, my God, such a...
Super funny.
Such a fun line.
Like, so all, many lols.
I was in shock, and then he said that, and I immediately went to laughter, because I'm broken and dead on the inside.
Aw. Like most Americans. Hey, this week's subtitle, stealing an idea from Cub is already bad. I like that. So I'm going to kind of jump right into some stuff here. Travis, what?
Is it the theft part?
It is not the theft part. Not yet. I want to ask you how your game day went. Did you get a chance to play in game day?
Instead, I made 300 pizzas.
Sweet. Is that a lot of pizzas?
Yeah, a normal Saturday is about 150.
So, twice as busy.
Yeah.
Nice. And did you get twice the salary?
An hour less time.
In an hour less time.
Yeah, why would they pay me more?
Why wouldn't they pay you more? Because you did more.
That's not how hourly wages work.
Oh, no. Vengeance. So, I got to play in game day.
Oh, I do have the best story about game day, though.
Okay. Tell me your best story.
And that was the first part of the subtitle, but the new subtitle is better. So, one of the dudes playing everybody loves to make him salty. Because he just gets so overworked over the smallest crap.
Right.
Like, so, when the Worldbreaker deck came out, you know, the green-red ramp or whatever, he was like, he was complaining that, you know, nobody should be able to drop a Worldbreaker on turn 4, 5, and 6 without having any sort of interaction or whatever.
Why? That is interaction. How much more interaction can you get than dropping a Worldbreaker on 4, 5, and 6?
He said, you know, what he said was, your opponent shouldn't be able to just ignore you and then play bombs and then win. So, the very next week at Modern, he was playing a mono-blue take infinite turns deck.
Okay.
Which, you know, is basically just ignore
them
and
right.
Yeah, until they win. So everybody just laughed at him because, well, it was stupid. On Saturday on game day, he was talking about how broken the Thopter copters were or whatever. Or the Smuggler's copters.
Smuggler copters are pretty good.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, this card should be banned and blah, 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 blah. You know, just throwing a hissy fit over it. And then he got to the person who was playing 5-color Panharmonicons. And from what I hear, he got so salty at the game that he threw his hand at his opponent, and then his opponent was like, I assume that means you quit. You know, just, you know, being all happy about it. He's like, this deck is such garbage, I can't do anything against it. He just starts crying. Well, not crying, but, you know, throwing his little...
Metaphorically crying?
Yeah, throwing his little tantrum. So, that was my game day story. I wasn't there, but to have someone throw their entire hand at the opponent as a way to forfeit the game is probably one of the best things you could do.
I mean... Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. If you can get somebody to, like,
rage, I don't know, that hard.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I've had people rage me pretty hard. Like, to the point where I went out and got my knife out of the truck and slammed it down on the table. And by my knife, have you ever seen my knife?
Probably. What's her name?
Betsy. Yeah,
fucking figures.
Yeah. I can't. Dirty. She's hiding, probably. She's like a 12-inch testo blade.
If anyone's watching this YouTube right now, it's hilarious because Samus is just sitting there and spinning.
Sitting there spinning, trying to find it. Like, she's hiding! She gets up and she runs away sometimes. Like, where did she go? It's like hide and seek. Like, oh, surprise!
And then one day you're just going to stub your toe on it.
No, I'm pretty sure... I think we had to use it to, like, cut something the other day, and I don't think my wife ever brought it back to me. Anyway. Yeah, cutting stuff. Go figure. Yeah. Also, this sweet one that my dad got me a long time ago. Apparently, this is a World War II knife, and it's still in amazing shape. I love it. A killer saw. Keyshaw. Oh, no, it's great. Anyhow. This isn't a podcast about those things. It's about magic. So let me tell you my magic story.
Okay.
So first of all,
is this
my...
You slammed your knife on the table?
No. I think we've talked about this. Okay, very well. I'll tell that story. So we had an individual. His name was Stephen Leiden.
Oh, don't say his full name.
Why not? I want to summon the devil. It's fine. And we even got to the point where I made Planeswalker cards about him. And it was things like, +1, draw a card, but only as long as no one can see you. +1, put a card from your graveyard into your hand as long as no one catches you. Or gain 5 life as long as no, like, this guy was just a rampant cheater.
Yeah.
Like, just incredibly bad. And he had a terrible attitude. And I was playing him one day in a tournament, and he just starts running his mouth about how he was going to shoot me for being a shitty person or something. I don't know. because he was all like, I'm a big and bad. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to go get my life counter out of the truck. I'll be right back. And I got up, and I came back with Betsy, and I sat it down on the table, just like, bam. I said, you have 2 life points. I'm going to unsheathe Betsy, and then your life is over. So I suggest you shut the hell up and you play this game of Magic appropriately. And the entire room got quiet and just basically watched us play this game of Magic in front of everybody. And then Johnny came up after the match. He's like, so I appreciate what you did, but you're going to have to put your very big, very threatening knife back in your truck. I said, okay, not a problem. So, yeah, anyway, so that's that particular story where Life Counter had to come out and take care of some business. No, I wanted to... One more time?
So then you stopped him from being choke points.
No. Another individual stopped him from getting choked once. He was talking a bunch of trash, and I don't remember what exactly set me off, but I just reached over and sat down next to him. I said, say that to me one more time, and you're going to see what happens. And he just, like, smiled at me and started talking trash again, so I just grabbed the back of his head, and I slammed it into the table, kind of like you see that kind of stuff in the movies. So then he started taking some swings at me, where I basically put him in a headlock, and then a army guy who was on leave came up and jumped on me and basically put me in a headlock. So yeah, it was until he was able to, like, get up and run away. So yeah, I don't know. I was a little annoyed. And then I, like, looked at Jeremy, who's a good friend of mine. I'm like, you just let a dude attack me from behind? He's like, I'm not here for an ass whooping. I'm like, you're like 6'4", like 800 million pounds. Like, you just could have looked at that guy and just, like, moved your arm and went wham and just knocked that guy off of me. You're like, no, I'm not here for an ass whooping. Like, okay, good friend, good friend. I know where you're at in this relationship. So anyway.
Matthew is he's pretty stacked as well.
He is. Matthew is great. I couldn't think of his name. But yeah, I don't even know what happened. I haven't seen him in years.
He has 2 kids now and a wife. So he basically does that.
Does nothing. Yeah. Nice. So yeah, no, he saved Leighton. He saved him that day from a severe ass whooping because I was done. I was over it. Okay, so, but I want to talk about game day, actually. First of all, I want to say I love Galvanic Blast. So I've been looking at this card for a while, trying to figure out if it's a suitable replacement. What was the shock that just left with...
Fiery Temper.
No, not the other one. It did 2 damage to a creature. If you had the Spell Master, you did 3.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know. Doesn't sound right either, but we'll say you're correct. So whatever that card is, I've been trying to figure out if Galvanic Blast is a good replacement. First of all, it is infinitely better than the first card. I cannot tell you how great this card is. So like this thing teamed up with Goblin Dark Dwellers. It did a huge amount of work at game day, like crazy. I was able to keep hands that were like Red Source, Galvanic Blast, Miscellaneous, and still able to win just off the power of this card. Like, kill your 2-drop, kill your 3-drop, kill your 4-drop, like, replay it, you know, later in the game, kill your 4-drop, you know, like, it did a ton of work for me, and I was incredibly impressed with it. So I'm really, I really think that shores up my Mardu deck. I think it really helps it a bunch. The biggest problem so far that I've seen with this Mardu deck is I do so much damage to myself with my card draw that my opponents only have to sneak in like 8 damage to kill me. And I'm not really sure how to best fix that. I'm also having a wee bit of mana issues. Specifically getting to... Because a lot of the deck is... I mean... Out of the cards in the deck, for those of you who don't kind of remember, and we may have to just post this deck list later. It's 1 and 2 mana removal spells. A couple of slots of 2 and 3 mana card draw. And then basically it jumps straight to like 5 mana Goblin Dark Dwellers and 6 mana Planeswalkers to kind of take over and finish the game. Like that's the whole deck. And I'm getting in these weird situations where even though I kill like the first 7 creatures, right, and I have these man lands, if I can't keep enough mana coming, like I have to play a land every turn. I think the deck's running like 28 lands maybe. So this might be one of those even more lands deck. I'm not sure. But even though if I stumble even 1 or 2 turns on lands, I just get in this situation where because you're 1-for-1-ing with all these cheap spells, and if you can't pull ahead with some of this multiple card advantage stuff, you're just not going to be able to get there. So I feel like I'm stumbling in that direction. But otherwise, I really like the way the deck is playing. And I think against most of the common decks, it would be really strong. Things like this Dwarven Vehicles that Reed Duke piloted to the 10th place finish at Pro Tour Kaladesh, I think would be very strong against it. And in fact, the matches I lost were due to weird situations where like my opponent had 3 spell quellers. Like I go to kill the first spell queller and they spell, or I go to Thoughtseize and they spell queller the Thoughtseize. I try to kill that spell queller. They spell queller that removal spell. I try to kill the next one. They were able to remove that one. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm out of go-go juice. Hopefully I can turn over this 6 mana so I can play Chandra and get all my cards back. So there's a lot of stuff like that. It was very irritating and stupid, but it was still a lot of fun. The format seems really fun and really healthy. And one of the decks I want to talk about soon, actually, I think I'm going to steal the idea from Cub, which means I'm probably on the path down to the wrong kind of deck.
Hell yeah.
But before we get into that, tell me about Demon of the Dark Schemes, Travis.
So, you know, I'm in love with Panharmonicon.
I love sure.
Absolutely. One of my top 2 favorite cards of the entire set. The other one is also a 4-drop artifact. I was playtesting my Harmonicon deck against someone else who had one. And he was able to get out more creatures than I was. But then I played Demon of the Dark Schemes when I had 2 Harmonicons on the field already. So he comes in and he gives every single creature -6/-6. And I think that netted me like 12 energy off of him coming in and killing everything. Which later I cast Ever After, and I bring back him in the green gear Hulk, so he survives, and you know I still wipe the entire field because triggers happen, and I was able to stack it, and then after that, you know, I just pay the 3 mana and the 4 energy to bring back another creature from the graveyard whenever I wanted to. And basically, I stabilized with the Harmonicons off of the Demon of Darkness games. And currently, I think there's a five-color deck going around right now, which, you know, making the five-color mana is easy and everything with the Prophetic Prism, the Servant of the Conduit, and Aether Hubs. Five mana is no issue right now. Or five colors is no issue at all. But I think I'm going to make this Golgari and base it off of Delirium because of Ishkana and Ever After.
I'm on board. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, I just need to, figure out the whole synergy of the deck. Because, I mean, early game, I really don't have much. I'm going to have some things, but not much. But then late game, you know, I got the Demon of Darks games, Noxious Gear Hulk, Ishkana, and the Green Gear Hulk, Virtuous, and Ever After. But then, I mean, early game, I'm going to have to figure that out because it's an aggro-heavy format, I guess. But also, Thought Not Seers trigger incredibly well with Panharmonicons.
Yeah, I imagine that's true. So, real fast, I want to go ahead and throw in a quick... I realize that something is screwy, I think, on Travis's end of the internet. He's kind of coming across like a little bit chipmunky and a little bit staticky sometimes. We were having a lot of issues trying to get the Google Hangouts to fire up and work correctly. But this is our window to record, so I'm going to go ahead and leave it. Hopefully it's not going to sound too bad in the final show. I'll see what I can do about fixing it. But if it comes out kind of weird, please be patient with us. We are unfortunately limited by the tools at our disposal. As for the deck idea, I think there's a lot of really cool stuff that can happen right now. I like the idea of Ishkana and doubling that ability to make six spiders.
Tripling.
Or tripling, that's also good. But the idea of even if just taking the making seven spiders when it enters the battlefield, and then for seven mana you drain them seven life, essentially,
right,
with 1/6 or 1/3, like that seems perfectly reasonable to me. Especially if you're like throwing in like the Green Gear Hulk and the Black Gear Hulk, and then all of a sudden, you know, your deck starts looking pretty heavy at the on the back end. But it lets you take advantage of things like the green Puzzle Knot to potentially double up life. Or I think there's some other pretty interesting life gain coming to the battlefield type things if you look for them. So I think you can do a lot of work there.
That have there's a White Angel where when it comes in you gain one life for each creature you control. That was out of Zendikar. It's an ally. She costs 6 or something like that. There's the Cloud Blazer, which it comes in, you draw 2 and gain 2 life. And then that card right there was like the only reason I was thinking about keeping 4 colors in the deck.
Yeah, I don't know if you need to worry about that right now.
I need to worry about keeping my hand full.
Right. I don't know. I was almost kind of thinking you could look at something like more of the green, like landfall. Esque triggers. Again, we always go back to the white or the 0/3 that gains you life when a land enters the battlefield, and the green
retreat.
Yeah, the green retreat. So those always do a lot of stuff. So you can gain a lot of life in that regard. I don't know if any of that stuff will double trigger.
It's only when an artifact or creature enters.
Yeah, so it would make it difficult to kind of make to take extra advantage from the Panharmonicon. Like you'd have to do something. Say what?
Unless they make any artifact lands in the next set.
Yeah, that seems unlikely. No, I mean if you have a creature that enters the battlefield and makes two lands, then you could kind of double up that way. So there are some ways you could do that. It's just it does get tricky. So let me just real quickly, I think we're on similar mindsets right now with probably different plans. So let me just talk for 1 second about my troll card, the Aether Tradewinds. Yes. This card, I don't think is getting enough love. It's a 3-mana instant, blue and 2. Return target permanent you control and a permanent you don't control to those owner's hands. So because this hits a permanent, it gives you a lot of interesting options. For example, you can use it to set back a land for your opponent while essentially doubling an enter the battlefield trigger or saving an important character or creature for yourself.
Right.
You could do something like use Shaheeli Ra, play it, maybe create a, minus it, and then be able to, when they attack it, instead of, assuming they attack it, maybe you can set them back a land and pick up your Planeswalker and basically double fog the turn. I feel like you can get an awful lot of value out of there. And again, I'm going to talk about this specifically with some ideas that I've kind of been stealing from Cub, because he had this really interesting deck at game day that we'll talk about a little bit. But he also took advantage of Panharmonicon, and I think it really kind of set me down this Panharmonicon path right now in my building right this minute. And I think I want to build my Panharmonicon Jeskai. So the fact that you're going down the green-black path and I'm going down the red, white, and blue path, I think just shows you the power of this particular card. Just in general, just kind of the craziness that's going on. So let me just kind of hit this combo here that I think that Cub has kind of stumbled on. And I think it's good. Basically, it involves Airy Mechanic. So that's the generic and a white for a 2/2. When it enters the battlefield, you may return another permanent you control to its owner's hand. Okay. So, this card allows you to pick up the Puzzle Knot. So, if you were to use like a Cog Worker's Puzzle Knot, you can play this, pick up the Puzzle Knot, and replay the Puzzle Knot. So, essentially, you're getting double value out of the Puzzle Knots. And, of course, if you do something like a Foundry Inspector, it gives you the ability to play it for a reduced price. If you do something with the Panharmonicon, it lets you potentially pick up two, or if you have a third one or a second one, three Puzzle Knots. The problem is, and this is where I've realized now that Cub was incorrect. He played his Panharmonicon and he was picking up his Airy Mechanic, but it specifically says another, so it can't pick itself up. But since it hits any permanent that you control, it really gives you the ability to like go nuts with your various like Puzzle Knots. What's the prism, right? Chromatic Prism allows you to pick that up, draw another card. It really gives you access to a lot of stuff, and something like an Aether Tradewinds is kind of that thing that you need, so you can pick up. Again, you're setting them back in some way, shape, or form, picking up your bounce guy or just the artifact directly to be able to pick it up and put it back down. I really think it's got some interesting things going on in there, especially when you look at potentially running something like Shaheeli Ra. So you can like go and get a one of like an Aether Flux Reservoir, or a one of Foundry Inspector, or maybe you have like one of each of the we talked about them a couple weeks ago, where it's like a creature enters the battlefield, get an energy. What are those? What's that? Yeah, the modules chain. So like you're able to set these things up in such a way where you run like singletons of some of these things, but then you run like four of the important bits and pieces, like the panharmonicons, the cogworker's puzzle knot, the aether trade winds, and the avery mechanic. And the next thing you know, you're just like in this great situation where you can drop an angel of invention and just like burr, the board. So I don't know. I'm really impressed with the key idea. Looking at Cub's deck, the biggest problem was, in my opinion, that he wanted to be a control deck and he wanted to be able to go wide as his finisher. Of course, I run main deck 6-mana Chandras, so I really didn't give a crap how many 1/1s he had or 2/2s he had. I just went and found a Chandra and just went, kill all your dudes. He's like, well, I'll make 12 dudes. I'm like, I'll neg one again and kill all your dudes. So, I don't know. I think it's an interesting idea, especially if you were to do something, like there's an awful lot of Servo Lords and Artifact Lords in this format.
Yeah. So, I think basically, you just want to combo out and kill someone?
I mean, maybe. And that's where you can run like a few of the red dudes who says when an artifact enters the battlefield, they take a point of damage.
Right. There's a cheeky way that you could do it if you want.
Well, you know me.
All right. So, this one, it does need the Panharmonicon, but it does it at the same time.
Okay.
Like a Panharmonicon. Get you there faster, even though you'll probably just combo off anyways. So either Aetherflux or Reservoir.
Right.
The Pies of an Angel.
Okay.
Whenever a creature comes. Okay. And then two of the Whistweaver Angels.
Right. Yeah, and I've seen a lot of these weird combos where you can like do all sorts of weirdness.
If you just think about it, then I don't know, having the Fire Weaver and a Panharmonicon and two of the Boundary Inspectors or something like that.
Like I said, I think the idea of just being able to have like your main game plan be X, but then be able to protect like a Sealy Raw, right? I've been looking for an excuse to play her, right? So keep that in mind, too. So all of a sudden, I'm already in a deck that wants to play Panharmonicon. I'm already in a deck that wants to play Shaley Raw. I'm already in a deck that wants to play, like, Aether Tradewinds and the modules. Like, all of a sudden, then it makes it worthwhile to also run the... What's the 2/3 that, like, you pay 3 energy and you make an Ornithopter?
Whirler Virtuoso.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden you have that combo in the deck, too. Like, it becomes so easy to put in these. Like, if you're already running the Panharmonicon and, like, one other card that kind of works with all this synergy, you can glue in so many combos in this standard that it's just ridiculous at how out of hand something can get. Yep. And I think that's kind of what I'm starting to get the feel of in this standard. Like, yes, the super aggro pummeler deck can just come out of nowhere and kill you if you're not ready for it.
Right.
However, if you're loaded up on things like Galvanic Blast and... Aether Tradewinds, right? Like, now you've got potentially 8 cards. If all you're doing is slowing them down, right? Who cares? But all of a sudden, you've got the situation where you have all these different combos that any second one of the three combos should come together. And if any time one of the three combos comes together, then all of a sudden you take over the game in such a way that it doesn't matter if they can do 64 points of damage to you out of nowhere, because odds are you're going to be able to take care of it. You know, you're going to be able to, oh, you're going to attack me? I'm going to put, you know, 37 blockers in front of that guy. Like, can you do more than 37? Yes. Okay, how much more than 37? Are we talking 57? Well, no. Well, then go home. You're drunk.
Right. We'll see. And, you know, just with the beginning of Kaladesh, it made me realize that they finally put out a combo set where you don't need a playset of everything for your combo to work. You just need to get it. You know, the five-color harmonicon deck. With the exception of the familiars, the harmonicons, and the conduit, servant of conduit, the mana dork.
Right.
Everything was like a one or two of. Like, this whole set is like incredibly cool blocks.
Right. And I think if you're also running something like the bird, like you have just so much ability to look through the top of your deck and find what it is you're looking for.
Yep.
There's not as much tutoring as I'd like. Like, I would love to have like I'm thinking in a color that I'm playing right now, not you know, double black spell, but that's true. That's true. Five color could be a thing, I guess. So yeah, I don't know. I'm really enjoying the standard. And again, I'm still talking with people who are like, yeah, I'm just not into this standard. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, you've literally told me for the last 2 years that you're not into this standard. Like, since before cons, well, not just Carl, but Carl is one of the people who I'm talking about, but before cons, people were telling me, oh, I'm just not into this standard. I'm not into it. This is terrible. And it's the same group of people.
Have you played?
Yeah, it's what I want to ask them. It's like, this is ridiculous. This whole format. And it has been for like years now. They've had this incredibly agile way of keeping the format fresh and interesting. The worst thing about it has been, and I think we talked about this last week, was that it seems like you don't have enough time to fully explore the format. And then they changed it. So now we have more time again to explore the format. And I'm like, yes, this is amazing.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm loving where things are right now. And I think it's in a really interesting place. And I've got a ton of decks in mind.
So when I think about the rotation and how that works, I know they do it by block. You know, the two blocks come in and then they rotate and all that other crap or whatever. I think what they need to do, instead of doing it by block, just do it by set. So, you know, there's four sets in a rotation. Once that fifth set comes in, you drop the one that came in first, not the entire block.
Well, I think part of the problem is that normally, and let's just look at a two set block, right?
Right.
It normally there's like a bigger and then an also large but usually slightly smaller set.
Right.
They usually can't support continuing on. So I think going back to a once a year rotation is probably best, in my opinion, which is what they've done. That we'll have a one-year rotation in the fall. And I think that will give people enough time. Like right now, a lot of people are like, yeah, I don't know if I want to get into Magic because I can't afford to keep up with Standard. Like, when you buy a deck now, it's good for, you know, at the time I would say 18 months. Like, that's a year and a half. It's good for a year and a half. Like, that's a long time. Like, yeah, but does it really? Is it really? Well, now we're back to 2 years, and there's something about that 2 years that kind of makes people go, huh, well, maybe I could invest $50 in a Magic deck now, or, you know, draft a couple of times and see what kind of rares that I've picked up and move back into, you know, polishing out whatever I need. Like, I feel like it's, I think this is a really good change again.
So as far as it goes for me, when it comes to buying from the new set, I will either buy singles from the store or I just get the cards I need from draft. Like, I don't buy boxes anymore. I rarely buy packs. Unless, you know, it's part of a trade or something. Like, he couldn't come up with a $350 of cards that he wanted from me, so I just buy him a pack. You know, something like that. Then I will buy packs. Because I'll buy them one, and then me two, you know, just because I'm greedy. But other than that, I don't buy boxes anymore. I don't buy five fat packs. I will buy the new Commander stuff when it comes out, because that's looking ridiculously fun. But as far as Standard goes, buy singles from the store or trade with people. Then get the rest from drafting.
Well, I mean, I can't encourage that, mostly because, you know, as a person who works at a shop, that I need to make sure that people, you know, there's always going to be different classes of people that play Magic. Some people are going to be crack packers. Some people are going to be drafters. Some people are going to be sealed people. You're always going to get this variety. I happen to be in a similar situation where I don't do a lot of buying boxes anymore. Unless I'm going to sit on them. But I also pay for three people to draft every week. So essentially, you know, at that. Yeah, basically. So like for me, it kind of works out in such a way where I still am buying that box, but it is over the course of, you know, a month or whatever. And then and for me, it happens to work out. But if I was an individual drafting, you know, once a week or even, let's say, twice a week, I might not get everything I want. And in that situation, you can buy those singles from the shop, which, again, I still encourage because the shop, that's where the shop makes the most money, to be perfectly honest, is by reselling cards close as they can get away with to retail value. Because most shops are going to buy it for half and then sell it for, like 80 or 90% of value. Some places will charge full value, and they typically give you a little bit more than 50% of a rate. Typically. I don't know how true that is all over the place, but from the shops that I frequent, if it's a shop that's going to ask full retail, they usually pay you about 60%. My shop, I kind of feel like my owner drinks in the morning. He has a tendency to like, well, as long as I make a dollar off of it, it's fine. So he'll take a $10 card, buy it for $8, sell it for $9, and he seems to be happy with that. Me, I would rather him buy a little bit, spend a little bit less, you know, hey, I'll give you $6. And if they say, well, I'd like to get some more, then be willing to go up to $7. And then sell it for, you know, say I want 9 or I want 10, and then let them counter with 9 and say, well, how about 9.50? You know what I mean? Like, I would rather my guy be a little bit more margin based, and I think a lot of people would be happy with that or be willing to do that because it would let them feel like they're getting a deal. Maybe not. Maybe that would take my guy and put him out of business. I don't know.
Okay, so. The one store here in town that buys singles, what they do is, you know, they go off of the eBay prices, you know, the average eBay price. And then for standard stuff, they'll give you, 50% in cash or 65% in trading value, store credit.
Right. Which I think that's a good way to do things.
Yeah, and currently they don't bite or trade anything for Modern, with the exception of Fetchlands, because Modern's not a huge format here. Like, here it's either Standard, Commander, or Draft. Which, I mean, that's great.
I don't think there's a lot of formats that are that much different. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of places are kind of similar. We happen to have a pretty heavy Modern community for whatever reason. I think that they've convinced themselves that it's a longer lasting format. Personally, I've never seen that kind of stuff myself, but if that's the format you like to play, awesome. But I mean, for me, I would like to see more people get back into Standard in my local shop. I think that it would make, I think there's enough of it that people would be content doing it. And you have a lot of fun. I don't know. We'll see. Like right now, I don't think last week's Friday Night Magic for Standard fired. But we had, I think, 12 or 15 people for Draft. So to me, that kind of tells you that what's the mindset, right? Like, what's going on with people's heads? And this was the Friday night before game day, where people were looking for practice for game day. So I don't know. Again, it's kind of weird for me. All right, well, we're hitting the hour mark. Let's switch gears really hard here, and let's look at a deck. From a listener, Nathan sent us a deck list, and this is a red-white tokens deck. He and I were kind of doing some brainstorming at Remington's birthday party last week after game day, and we were kind of chasing down this idea, and I think he has continued to, like, hone in on it. And, again, this is coming from that core idea that we got from Cub of the Panharmonicon, Cogworkers, Puzzle Knot, Avery mechanic to kind of help get additional fuel going. So this deck list is for Avery mechanics, for Reckless Fireweaver. That's the guy who, when an artifact comes into play, it does damage. Fairground 3, Fairground's Warden. That's the guy who basically steals a dude when he enters the battlefield. So with the Panharmonicon, he steals two dudes. Pretty good value for 3 mana, I have to say. Master Trinketer. I'm not 100% sure which one that is. Is that the guy who makes servos? Is that the Servo Lord? I think so. Mama Nair? Pia Nair? I'm just going to say Nalar. I'm just going to say Pia. Two Pias. 3 Angels of Invention. That is the
Lord.
The Flying Lord. Yeah. And 2 Combustible Gear Hulks. 3 Gideons. 4 Outnumbers. 2 Fumigates. 3 Clogworkers Puzzle Knots. 4 Panharmonicons. And then a pretty reasonable mana base. This is the deck that he and I kind of brainstormed together. And with a little bit more fine tuning, I think this is really close to a knockout. I really do. The sideboard.
I think that when you take one Fumigate out for one Sky Sovereign, like, switch those around.
In the main deck?
Yeah. Because, or maybe even bring the Sky Sovereigns in and take the Fumigates to the side. Because, I mean, game one, you know that you're going to try and get tokens. But if they have stuff that they can't, that you can't deal with, then yeah, I completely agree. Get rid of their stuff.
Well, I think the idea is that sometimes you're just going to need to be able to make a bunch of tokens and then just gain a massive amount of life. So we were talking about, this is actually kind of configured for the Pummeler deck in the main. So, like, being able to do this Fumigate, even if you, like, make, say, seven dudes, right? And they have three guys out there. If you go for it and you kill 10 dudes with this, you're gaining 10 life, which doesn't really put you out of reach. But with their slowdown, like, this should be able to give you the opportunity to get ahead of them again.
Okay.
It's by having that the main get fumigate. Where the Sky Sovereign, less so, because then they can just use one of their numerous pump spells to just make the butt big enough that it doesn't die to the Sky Sovereign when it enters the battlefield, unless you have a Panharmonicon. And then they have to have a specific... My dude gets hexproof. Right. And that's where you have... And that's where, like, the spell Outnumber, I think, is really strong in a deck like this. Again, because we're making so many guys. Theoretically, the most important card in this deck, obviously, is Panharmonicon. All of a sudden, you get Panharmonicon down, everything makes potentially 2 to 3 dudes. Or does 2 to 3 extra points of damage. So, like, again, this is another... It looks like an aggro deck, right? It looks like it's set up to go long, but it's all make a bunch of dudes, play a bunch of lords. Play a bunch of lords that do extra work. I said, and that's just kind of what the idea was, because the question originally posed was, I bought 4 Pias because I think the card is really strong. What is the best way to take advantage of it? And I went, well, God, if you could spend 3 mana and make 2 Ornithopters and a Pia, like, that's clearly the best way to take advantage of this card. Well, Avery Mechanic, here we go. Pick up Pia, make 2 more. Pick up Clogworker's Puzzle Knot, make 2. Play an Angel of Invention, make 4 dudes, make them all 2/2s. Like, I think this is really good. The Red Gear Hulk still feels a little off to me. The idea behind it, I think, is, again, to if it's double triggered, it's amazing. I have the feeling you're going to tell me a story.
Red Gear Hulk, I think it's better in non-Gear Hulk decks. If that makes sense. Like, this one needs to be the only Gear Hulk.
And right.
With the Harmonicon, you know, this is basically like Browbee, that's a 6/6.
Correct.
And I think the card is absolutely amazing. It's completely underutilized right now.
Okay. Well, like I said, I'm willing to try this deck. I think this is a very, very good first attempt at this deck. Like I said, the sheer fact that Gideon is just so strong on its own. If all of a sudden now, you know, Gideon has all these additional synergies, if he sits on the field one extra turn, like, there's a lot of value to be had here. But if all he does is sit on the field and become a 4-mana unremovable anthem, like, in this deck, that's still great. Like, that's really good. Because now, again, you're paying 2 generic mana for a Cogworker's Puzzle Knot to make 2/2s. Potentially 2/2s for 2 mana. Like, it just, the synergies grow with this deck, I think, so much. Does this thing live through the more aggressive decks in the format? I don't know. I think so. I think it's got a lot of go power.
Well, I think yes, because on the sideboard, you know, there's the authority of consoles.
Yes.
So there's that. But also, even in the main, they have the Fairgrounds Warden. And then, the mechanics obviously bounce. I mean, at the very worst, it's a pair. At the very worst. But, like, against the really aggressive decks, you have the Puzzle Knots, Mechanics, Fireweaver, and Fairgrounds just as early chump. And then you get into your win conditions of the deck.
Right.
Which, I think, in a heavy aggro deck, the things that he would take out would be, like, he'd take out the Outnumbers, and put in, I want to say, Gearhulk and Authority of the Council, and possibly Status there, just for early games.
Well, I really like the Outnumber in this deck. I think it's got a lot of... even against an aggro deck. Because, you know, you spend one mana, you kill their three drop. Their one, or their X3 or whatever. Like, I think this thing does a lot of work. I don't know. We'll have to see. Like I said, my version of this deck is very similar to his version, except I'm also running blue for Shaehelis and potentially a slightly different package of, like, I don't think I'd run any of the Gearhulks in my version. Potentially Reflector Mage would be quite good. I don't think my version runs Gideon.
It is really good.
Well, I imagine if you bounce two things and they can't play either one of them, it's probably quite strong. So, I mean, those are probably cards that will go in my sideboard. But I really like how this is kind of set up. But this is, again, that this core idea of the Avarian Mechanic, the Panharmonicon, a couple of Lords, a Reckless Fireweaver. Like, I think this is very, very interestingly built. To me, this feels a lot like the Wild Pair deck that I love so much in previous standards. And I wonder if this could become my, like, Panharmonicon might become my next Wild Pair. Like, it's now a 4-mana Wild Pair instead of a 6-mana.
So, how would you feel about... Like, okay, so I ran into a few incidents on FNM when my board just got basically nullified due to spot removal. Which, you know, that's a thing that happens sometimes. But Eerie Interlude really, really helped.
Right.
But then there's also another one, I think it's common out of the set, where basically it just does it for, it just flickers a creature plus you draw a card for 3 mana. So if you know they're doing spot removal, it just saves it, plus you get the ETB effects back.
Right. And that card I think is very good. The question is it better than Aether Tradewinds and being able to potentially affect their board? Like you're giving up draw a card for... You save your guy. Theoretically, you save your thing. You put it back in your hand to recycle the effect, and you're hopefully interacting with their board in a meaningful way. Verse, right? You flicker, get your effect for free, and save the creature, but you're not affecting their board in any meaningful way, unless the Enter the Battlefield trigger affects their board. So I think you have both ways. I think they're both good. It's part of the reason why I wanted to talk about this card today. My phone apparently has decided that I said the magic catchphrase to make it try to turn on. So let me turn all that back off.
What's Pee-wee's word of the day?
Apparently it is boop, boop. Anyway, I like this deck. I'm looking forward to seeing how it works. Let's see. I believe he's off Wednesday and Thursday. I might have to try to run into him one of those days and try to get some playtesting in on it. So as usual, we did not discuss a game because for whatever reason, it seems to block my brain. What? I didn't. I still can't understand. You really... Okay, you want me to pick the game? Anyway, I just want to go ahead and quickly say, please check out samusgorilla.com for this episode and all past episodes. There's links to things like the YouTube video, if you'd like to be able to see our beautiful faces while we're talking, or any physical jokes we might make, or any cards we may throw across the front of the screen. It's really fun. We also have a few other images there, deck lists, stuff like that, as we kind of talk about it. If you'd like to send us an email so we can talk about it on the show, the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com is where you can do that at. You can, of course, check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/turtlepower319. is my friend Travis. I'm, of course, Samus Garobo, all one word, S-A-M-I-U-S-G-U-R-O-B-O. You can also check out twitch.tv/SamusGarobo for my daily video game streams. I'm working on scraping up enough money to get Civilization 6, and I'm hoping to make that a big game on the stream in the coming weeks. I really love Civilization games in the past, so hopefully we can get into Civilization 6 really hardcore. All right, so hopefully Travis's microphone won't make him sound like a robot chipmunk right now.
I like sounding like a robot chipmunk.
And I know you're pretending to make a voice, but that's exactly how you sound. It's like a robot chipmunk.
Yay!
So, how about we play the flavor text game?
Okay.
So, for those of you who don't remember exactly how this works, is basically I just hit a random card on the gatherer, and we like add the flavor text embed to the end of it. So Travis, let me just grab you. If I copy this URL for you and paste it over here in the notes, I think you should be able to just click that and get a random card. So this week, or my card right now, is Rhystic Cave. All mages dip into the same well. Some are just in more of a hurry in bed. I think that sounds really good, actually. All mages dip into the same well. Her name was Susan. She's very sexy.
This is not going to go well for me. Because the random card you gave me, Green Weaver Mina and her twin brother Din lead the last of the Moldaya into an uncertain future in bed.
Well, I mean, clearly if they're leading the last of them into bed, it is probably very uncertain. Like, what kind of kinky stuff are they into, if it's uncertain?
Clearly, they're Targaryens.
The best foresight is hindsight in bed. Love me some hindsight in bed. That's quiet speculation.
No, that one didn't even have flavor text. You did that one.
Let's do another. Okay, go ahead.
The Toymaker frowned in bewilderment. None of his creations had ever sneezed before in bed.
Nice.
Oh, Milken. Oh, that's so bad.
Liliana's caress. This might hurt less if you don't fight so hard, but I doubt it. It doesn't even need the in bed. It just, boom, it's right. Done. It's perfect. I love Liliana. She's probably my favorite of the Planeswalkers. What's your favorite Planeswalker?
Giddy.
Of the Giddy?
Giddy.
Hmm.
A Johnny.
Pretty hot. All right, how about one more?
The Ageless Order. The Votaries receive the gift of rejuvenation from the temple gardens they guarded.
How can any... Oh, go ahead. I was going to read you something. How can any human hope to match our skills? We are children of Finhorn, and its saps run in our veins in bed.
Okay.
Elvish Ranger.
Sure. Oh, he says, destiny, chance, fate, fortune. Problem is wicked, but they make the success.
And with that, I think we're going to call it a stream, Travis. Thanks for hanging out, brother. Again, we apologize if his microphone does not sound very wonderful. Once I kind of picked up on it, or once it started kicking in, I didn't want to stop and restart and do things because we had so much trouble getting in to start with. So hopefully I can get it cleaned up so it doesn't sound sound too bad, but if it does, again, we apologize. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. Well, thank you. But yes, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Travis, to the best of your knowledge, do you have anything useful to say ever?
Nah.
Troll on, everybody.